Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for your word. We gather to hear your word, that it may feed us, nourish us, enlighten us, purify us, cause us to repent, and drive the darkness out. We pray that it would make its way through the ear to the heart, and that you would reign in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we continue in our series in Jonah, and we're in chapter 3, and Jonah is an interesting character. You know, Jonah, I think, is probably a more realistic glimpse into the private life of a prophet. And as we talked about a prophet in the Old Testament, and I think we'll see the New Testament version of the prophet, that a prophet is a spokesperson for God. But a true prophet, and the test of a true prophet, is that they have been summoned before the throne of God. So the Hebrew word for prophet is Navi. So for those who have watched Avatar, right? The blue people, what they call the Navi, right? So it's kind of taken from there, I think. But they took what God said to them and they relayed it to the people of God. And so it was really odd, you know, that God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. And then prophesy, meaning tell them about the coming apocalypse upon that city. So he knows that God's up to something. I mean, well, he knows that God's going to, you know, likely save him. So he rebels and runs in the opposite direction. Tarshish. So he goes, instead of from Joppa to Nineveh, he goes from Joppa to Tarshish, takes a ship. And even though Jonah's on the run, you know, God obviously follows Jonah.
And I think reveals to the people on the ship, as well as to Jonah, through the storm, that ship is not going to Tarshish. And so the people on the ship are not evil people. You know, they don't want to throw Jonah overboard, even though Jonah tells him, hey, you got to throw me overboard. He says, no, we're not going to do that. Storm only gets worse. Then eventually they realize that they have to throw Jonah overboard. Jonah's good with that. Jonah rather die than to go to Nineveh. So they throw Jonah overboard. The seas calm down. And then everybody on the ship sees this. And they repent and they believe and they worship God, the God of Jonah. So we see from the first couple of chapters that God is working in Jonah despite his rebellion. But the people on the ship believed because of what they saw. And we're going to see in chapter 3, people believe despite what they have not seen. We'll begin with Jonah 2:9, when Jonah comes to realize, right, that it's in his interest to obey the Lord. And he now is giving God upon his realizations in the belly of the fish. So he begins to now, you know, realize that he really does want to obey the Lord. we'll pick it up on at the end of Jonah chapter 2 to verse 9. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord, so I double underline that, because we'll see that the word comes to Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. So that was the word of the Lord that came to Jonah the first time. And so now Jonah chapter 3 repeats it and then repeats it again. That was the message to Jonah. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, means it was huge, stupendous, mega, violent, but big. That doesn't mean it was like a great, an awesome city, like not two thumbs up, two thumbs down great. Jonah began to go into the city going a day's journey. So it's a big city. Took him 3 days to get there. He's been there and he's walking around for a whole day. And he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nothing fancy. And the people of Nineveh believed who? Believed Jonah, right? No, it says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. Something strange is happening with the spokespersons of God. See, when you're a spokesperson and you convey the word of the Lord, it becomes the word of God. We're going to see what that means. Believing in the word of God, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We'll talk about what it means to believe in God. But they believed God. God's going to do what he says. Something happened. At least the people, the crew on the ship, saw when they threw Jonah overboard. But these people just believed. Can you imagine? You know, me going around, right? The city of D.C., you know, 40 days and the D.C. shall be overthrown. We saw those. We see these people, right, at Union Station. We see them, you know, Henry of Hot Clackers, hey, you know, earth is going to, you know, crumble and repent. And, you know, But there is, dare I say it, there is an authority to the word of God at times when God chooses to use people who have taken authority of the word of God. See, Jonah did not give authority in his life to the word of God. So he could not be a spokesperson for God. See, God can speak through anything. But if you want to be a spokesperson for God, then you have to, because when you say something to people, when you share your faith or try to encourage somebody, and it actually does encourage them, it helps them. That means whatever you said had the effect of having authority in their life. Because if it didn't have authority, right, then they would what? Think it was worthless. Thus, discount what you have said. That's why when, you know, people come up to speak, you know, they have this long list of like these accomplishments. You know, Dr. Jung, he is, you know, a world renowned and accomplishment, and he does this, and You know, he can cut his toenails, like, you know, with his mouth, and they'll say all kinds of things. Why? Why do they puff them up? So whatever they say will have an authority upon you, the audience. So the word of God has to have authority. And so if I preach to you and you hear the things that I say or you read the verses, it must have authority in order for it to affect you. If you read and you casually listen, you casually read, you're wasting your time. If you're not anticipating for the word of God or the spokespersons of God, with whatever you're hearing, you have to be ready for it to have authority in your life. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is. Thy kingdom come. May you reign. May you reign. Come, reign. Reign over me. That's what it means. That's why, you know, scripture says, don't let sin reign in your mortal flesh. Because sin is defined in scripture as lawlessness. See, what has to reign? And we're going to go into this series called The Language of Emotion. You will begin to see, we don't understand, guys especially. We don't talk about how we feel. See, there was emotion, and understanding emotion is not a natural thing. You don't just naturally understand it. That's why people have PhDs. You know, people study, they become a student. You know, I don't know anybody who's emotionally intelligent didn't actually want to understand what they're going through. Scripture has a lot to say, but here's the thing. Emotion is an indicator. And I'll give you a little glimpse into what we're going to talk about. It's an indicator of what reigns in your flesh. Now, many of us sitting here are going through a lot of things, complex sets of emotions. And unless the word of God, see, when Jesus says, peace I give you, it's not some mystical peace. See, it's the words that will comfort you. Words that have authority over you. That's why Psalms is, you know, when they thirst and hunger for the law of God. When we read that, we're like, who are these people? They hunger to read the Word of God. If the Word of God has no authority in your life, you're just trying to find some method to help you feel better, it's not going to help you. Because it has no authority over you. And so, when the people of Nineveh believed God, something happened. Those words are having authority. Let's take a look. They call for a fast and put on sackcloth. And from the greatest of them to the least of them, it didn't matter what class of people you were in. People were now coming under the weight of God, of the Word of God. Here's what I'm saying. We're probably seeing what it's going to be like at the end times. People nowadays, we have choices. We have a choice to say, you know what? I choose not to forgive. You can do that. I choose, you know, I choose not to be very giving. I choose not to serve. I choose not to do this. Right now, because the Word of God does not have authority over your life, you're not being weighted down. And God might not be chasing you down like he did with Jonah. And you think that you could govern your life any way you want, the way you want. And you think you can go on and on like that. Now, God help you. That you will come across a moment when you need the Word of God to matter. When those words got to encourage you. And when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he needed the word of God to matter. Something, because he wasn't dying. He was suffering. In the end times, all knees shall bow. You see? In the end, the King of Kings will reign. It doesn't matter. Right now, it matters. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The king doesn't even know. He's a wicked man. See, the Assyrians were wicked people. They filleted people's skin. They covered it over their enemies. They impaled people through their ribs, even sometimes through their, buttholes. Okay? Impale people and just display them. They were a violent, violent people. To let people know, they're the inventors of the crucifixion. And here's how they did. He was their modus operandi, meaning this is how they operate. They come and they conquer a people. They take the men, all the important people that would actually be involved in any kind of uprising, and they take them, sell them into slavery, right? Or kill them. And they leave all the people that are, you know, not going to do much. And then they forcibly take people from another place, and then they will send them into the place they just conquered, and then populate them and mix them. That's how they operated. And that's why we have the Samaritans. Because the Assyrians would eventually go on to scatter the northern kingdom. So, Jonah has reason. But God, right now, wants to demonstrate his mercy. And Jonah wants no part of it. But Jonah does repent. And he does declare the word of the Lord. And the authority of the word of God now takes reign in Jonah's life. So, and the king issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. The king knows they're a violent people. They're wicked. They're wicked. They're violent. And he knows, let not anyone drink or eat. Okay? They're getting serious. They're turning. When God saw what they did, how they turned, that's the same word for repentance, by the way. Okay, to turn back against what they were doing. See, when you don't turn back from your rebellious ways, the authority of God's word cannot happen. Repentance and believing happens simultaneously. God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So God did not destroy the city. Let's talk about the word of God to Jonah, the arise and go. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, right? According to the word of the Lord. Now, we see that in the New Testament, right? They use the word prophetes is a Greek word, but prophet has a connotation from the Old Testament as like this special. So Paul uses a different kind of spokesperson word. He uses the word ambassador. They're also a spokesperson. Okay? And that's what he uses for himself. who's also an apostle. So let's pick up Ephesians 6:19. And pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. So what do ambassadors do? They boldly proclaim that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Why is that? Because what Paul has to say carries authority. You ever meet people? You ever get in an argument? Right? When you get in a fight, right? It doesn't matter what the other person is saying. You get to that place in your fight where whatever you're saying doesn't even matter. What it means is the very definition of a fight is that none of the things that the other person is saying holds any authority. And the number one reason in a fight, okay, that we use to dismiss whatever they're saying, lest it have some kind of authority, is we begin to what? Degrade the spokesperson, attack the spokesperson, degrade them so that we can degrade whatever they're saying. It's like introducing a speaker. Here, Dr. Jung, he's probably the worst guy I've ever met, right? He stinks, you know, from his toes to his nostrils, all right? And whatever he said will also stink. But let him have his words. And you probably would like, you know, not listen. But that's how we do it. But Paul's saying, I'm an ambassador. Okay? Pray that the words may have authority. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come. See, it doesn't, when you go and evangelize, talk about God to people, they get saved. But then the word of God has no authority. There is no reigning of God. What is that? What is that? What kind of a Christianity is that? When God is not your king, when you're your own king. You see, that's the difference. When you go from being a Christian, you stop being a king unto your own self. Now God begins to be king. And that means the word of God. Notice how we sometimes use the word, when the Bible was made, the Bible was canonized. See, the authority of God upon people who spoke it, that authority was still there. They gathered together and collected the words that had authority consistently. And they said, that has authority. Because the sheep of God knows his voice. So they collected it together and canonized it. And then in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, affirms the canonization, the authority of those words in Paul's letters and the Gospels. Notice, there now is obviously a difference between apostolic spokespersons and us, but we are also spokespersons, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. See, God wants to use you as ambassadors. The question is now, are you ambassadors? Are you ambassadors? Are you do things that you say to other people, does the authority of that encouragement, that exhortation, that correction, does it convey? If it doesn't, if you have a hard time encouraging people, helping people with your words, it's almost always because you don't have that authority of that word upon your own life. So you're not very good at it. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And here's the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and said to them, authority. Authority. Jesus wants to make sure, okay? This comes with authority. In heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go and be my ambassadors. Be my spokespeople. All right, to believe. It says in Jonah, right? 3, the people of Nineveh believed God. That word is the same word used in Genesis 15 when it says, and Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him. Yahweh counted it to Abraham as righteousness. Hebrews says that Abraham was saved by faith. There is nobody in heaven that is not covered by the blood of Jesus. Nobody ever earned their way to heaven. God is not bound by time. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for the people that are around him. He died not only for the people that will come, but he died for the people that came. Nobody earned their way into heaven because God is not a God of good enough. God is holy, which means God is perfect. He's perfectly pure. He's perfectly faultless. That means nobody, nobody gets into heaven because they earned it or deserved it. To think so is to say God is not holy. Yes, it is preposterous. Why doesn't God chill? Relax. That's not God. He says he's holy. Sorry. But even as he is holy, he is also very loving. And so he makes a way, and that's why he sent his son. And Abraham believed the Lord, not just in that day, but believed him, trusted him that he would make a way. Now, there's a story of Thomas. Thomas was like the state of Missouri. You got to show me, right? Now, for those who understand that joke, Missouri's motto is a show me state. Right? It's a military thing we joke around about. Right? I'm from Missouri, you gotta show me. Right? So I used to say that and I wasn't even from Missouri. Right? But Thomas was from Missouri. He's like, you gotta show me. You gotta show me. Okay? That means the word of God through other people. You see, a lot of people get hung up. It came from other people. Listen to what Jesus says about that. Now, Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. You gotta show me. Gotta show me. All right. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas, this time, was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, like he came through walls, and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side, like Jesus heard what he was saying. And he says, do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, the word of God, even though it comes through faulty people, if it's the word of God, it's the word of God. And the word of God is God. That means it's like transferring God into people's lives. And the word of God will have weight It will have authority, and you will know the difference. See, think about this. When truth is spoken to you and you're a believer, it will resonate. Man, oh, that's so good. I wish I never heard it. And you gotta test it, of course. That's what scripture says. You gotta test it. But when truth is spoken, it's truth. John 10:24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe." See, Jesus is telling them things, but it has no weight. See, it doesn't matter if Jesus said it directly. It doesn't matter if Jesus sends his apostles to say it, or then the disciples of the apostles say it, because the words themselves, right, are not able to hold authority. "The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not," what? "Amongst my sheep." Like, at some point, the reason why this sermon is so boring to you, the reason why all other sermons are so boring to you, the reasons why people cannot encourage you, because you fundamentally can't hear and have the authority of God's word be upon you, because you are not amongst my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, even if it comes from somebody else. I know them, and they what? Follow me. 1 Timothy 4:11 says, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity, until after the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." That's what we try to do, right? The authority of leaders don't come from leaders. The authority comes from the Word of God. What do leaders do? They just are spokespersons. But what Paul is saying to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. You're a spokesperson for God. Hold your head high. Speak the word faithfully. If people have a problem with what you're saying, it's not because of who's saying it. If people have a problem with what a younger person is saying, it's not because they're younger. And that's what Paul wants to let Timothy know. It's not you. It's the word of God that they have a problem with. Hebrews 13:17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping a watch over your soul as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Why is that? You see, we're just wired to knock people down so we can knock what they say down. But that is of advantage to you. If a leader says, "Go and shine my shoes," they should not be leaders, because they are not, they're hindering the word of God. "Thus saith the Lord," if a leader saying, "Hey, how about this?" You got to understand, don't shoot the messenger, because you're shooting the message. Galatians 1:7-9. "There are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ." They're trying to make Jesus into something that the Word of God isn't teaching. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. If an angel comes down from heaven and he's saying something about Jesus, how he's not the Son of God, how he's not the only way, how, you know, there are other many ways, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, is preaching to your gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And it doesn't matter, right? We talked about the different faiths, right? Everyone serves a God of good enough. Everyone. Because it's up to you. They're good enough. See, God is loving, so they gotta be good enough. Because God's kind of chill, because I'm kind of chill. I'm tolerant, so God must be tolerant. God is severely intolerant. You gotta get your handles on this. God of the Bible is intolerant to sin. Perfectly intolerant. That is why he had to send his son. If God was not perfectly intolerant, he would not have had to send his son. When I studied the Hindu and the Buddhist religion, Hindu and Buddhist religion, very similar, except the Buddhist, initially anyway, didn't believe, okay, in the caste system. So the Hindus said, if you don't believe in the caste system, because they have a million gods, millions. They don't have any problems with absorbing Christianity, but don't believe in the caste system? Forget that. But only the monks, right? The priests could actually reach, okay? Get out of the cycle of karma and samsara, right? Buddhists, nirvana, only the monks. But then over time, let's just add more people. More people can get, it became more tolerant. People loved it more. Right? Because it's not only for the elite now. You can just be the average Joe. So that's why if you go into many Hindu homes, they'll have one idol. If you just are good to that one idol in your house, that's pretty much now what everybody, okay, is now resorted to in Hinduism. Just one idol. Just pick your God and be good to it. Good enough. Good enough. Mormons, Jesus, yes, he's the way. He's the only way. Yes, yes, we all agree. We're Christians too. Oh, but he was created. Jesus was not created. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God. Repent. Turn from his evil way. Turn that the idea, right? But I want you to understand, repent and believe come hand in hand. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the gospel. Listen, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Turn back. Turn back from your rebellious, I'm the king of my own life. I don't have to listen to you or to anyone. Because I want what I want. And I'm going to live my, and tomorrow's schedule will be my schedule. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Okay. Repent. Repent. And believe. Because see, the kingdom of God is the reign. If there is no such thing as I'm a part of the kingdom, but I don't have to listen to any of the king's laws, then you're not in the kingdom. If I commit a crime, like I speeded on my way out the gate, right? Like at some point, that MP will stop chasing me because I'm now outside the gate. I forgot, I think there's some transfer in, some mutual reciprocity for some of the jurisdictions. But the laws of that state, right? It's a big deal right now with abortion, right? Some states are not going to allow abortions and some states are going to, right? If you're a citizen of that state. So people are going to now drive across state lines. But the bottom line is we as kingdom people are under the law of the king. James 2:17, so also faith by itself, it is thus, if it does not have works, is dead. And then Matthew 3:7-8, right? Likewise, John the Baptist, when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. See, when you repent and you, what? Adopt you take the authority of the Word of God, your life changes. Your schedules change. Your friendships change. Everything changes. But if nothing changes and you believe, you didn't believe. Because the authority of the Word of God is in over your life. Let's summarize. God's people are all spokesperson for God. We're all ambassadors. So that means the authority of the Word of God should be upon us. And then the weight of God's Word coming out of our mouths should be effective. If it is not, then think about why it's not effective. We carry the Word of God to others. What a great responsibility. See, the thing about it is the Word of God is so powerful. When we start taking it authority, you will begin to find rest. You will have peace and joy, right? And your peace will not be circumstantial. It will not. You'll have an inner peace that exceeds and abounds in all circumstances. The Word of God holds all the power. It is delivered by faulty but repentant people of God that others may believe. Repentance and believing go hand in hand. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, Lord, God, what a story, God. What a story of the power of your Word. God, your Word could tear down cities, God, like Jericho. And God, your Word, God, could lift up, even coming through, God, a faulty person like Jonah. Your Word of God could cause a revival that mankind has never seen ever since. And Lord, but we want to be, God, your ambassadors, your prophets in this generation. And we want, Lord, the authority of your Word to matter now. God, to come upon us, Lord, like a heavy and warm blanket. Like, help us to repent. Help us to come and submit to you. God, would you tear down the rebellion in the heart? God, would you just piece by piece tear it apart? And may your words, Lord, take reign, God, through pain and toil. God, just we come before your Word. We come before your Word, God. I pray that your Word, God, your words, God, help us to come under them, not over them, under them, God. Your command to forgive, I pray now that would have authority. In Jesus' name, I pray that would have authority in people's lives. Your command to serve one another, I pray that would have authority, God. Your command to humble ourselves, I pray now that would have authority. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that your command to love as you love, pray that would have authority. I pray that your command not to covet thy neighbor, I pray that we would not be envious of anyone, instead be glad. I pray that would have authority. I pray, God, for your authority to cover. I pray that your authority, Lord, to cast all cares upon you and not be so controlling. I pray that would have authority in Jesus' name. I pray against anxiety, God. I pray your authority to come, that it would perfect us and qualify us as spokespersons, as ambassadors, that we, as your holy God, Navi, God, your prophets, your ambassadors, that we would, God, be effective, that you would use us to deliver your words. And I pray for everyone here to not look upon your word, God, with disdain, but delight. Like honey to our mouths, as the psalmist said. Let it be a lamp, God. Let it spread. Spread throughout the houses, Lord. I pray your word would go to our children, that your words would reign in their lives. God, we pray over them right now, that your words would reign over their lives. And I pray, Lord, for the parents. I pray for them. God, that you would, as you did to Jonah, Lord, that you would chase us down, that your authority, that your words would, Lord, reign in our lives. I pray for the parents. God, that the words that they deliver to their children, God, would have authority. Lord, I pray for young adults, God. God, I pray for them that they would be your ambassadors. They would repent and come to be your ambassadors. God, I pray that you would use them, God, in their circles, outside their circles, to be your spokespersons. And I pray for those who might not know you, or for those who do not see the fruit of repentance. I pray that they would repent and choose to come into your kingdom, to be under the authority of your word. I pray for that. God, that the perfect and holy God would love them and be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray for that. We pray that your word would start revival in our homes, in our hearts, in our workplaces. May you be powerful. May you go forth. In Jesus' name, amen.